News of the Times, Sinister Saturdays, The Monster Legier.
Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, we are in north central France in 1824, where a true life horror story unfolds, reminiscent of the stories of Dracula. Antoine Legier, loner and holding evil thoughts since his youth, strikes out at an age of 29 from his parents' house with the intention to live as a hermit. He confesses to having many an evil thought in his head that he has yet to act upon. This changes when he spies from the woods a young girl pruning in the vineyard of her father's land. Legier, in his attempt to carry her away, accidentally kills her, but this does not stop him. Legier commits a number of unspeakable actions to the poor young girl, but adamantly refutes the eating of her heart with the other body parts. Instead, he insists he sucked the blood of the heart rather than eating it, but wails with dismay that she was already dead when he committed the gruesome act. We take a look at the infamous crime of the monster Antoine Legier in today's episode of Sinister Saturdays. We hope you enjoy the show.
Background. Antoine Legier was born in 1795 in Saint-Martin-Bettencourt in northern central France. Legier describes himself as a loner with few friends amongst his peer group. He began work at the age of 15 as a thresher making faggots and lived with his parents. Legier, like other young men of the time, had been pressed into the army. Upon his return, he went back to working in the fields, and we have no records of his having any friends or girlfriends. In his confessions, he spoke of being tormented by evil thoughts ever since his youth. Living with his parents at 29, he lies and states that he has obtained a job as a domestic servant, but really he wishes to escape and live the life of a hermit in the woods. He takes with him 50 francs and only the clothes upon his back. It is not clear where he gained the 50 francs from, with some accounts stating that he had stolen the money from his parents. For approximately 1 week, he lives in a village, but with his funds rapidly dwindling, he decides to move to the woods. Legier settles in a cave near Charbonnier Rock, close to Montmirail. He survives by foraging with the occasional additional purchase in town of wine and cheese.
In his confession, Legier speaks of believing that the birds are talking to him. Legier also, in his discussions about living in the woods alone, speaks freely of having desires which he had never acted upon and of having demonic thoughts ever since being a child. Isolated and alone, living in a cave and surviving by foraging, Legier spies a young girl, Amy Constance de Bully, pruning vines from afar. He creeps up behind her slowly and, taking his handkerchief, slings it around her neck, lifting her onto his back and quickly running back into the woods, and she's never seen alive again. The parents are in terror when their daughter does not return. Calling on fellow villagers, sweeps of the area are made to find young Amy. A blue and white handkerchief is found, and not far from the handkerchief, they see a cave that she has clearly been covered purposefully. Entering the cave and overcome by the smell of putrefaction, they discover Amy, who has been buried in the sand.
From the Cambridge Chronicle and Journal, the 3rd of December, 1824, horrible narrative. The principal facts of this case are as follows. On the 10th of August, the deceased, named Amy Constance de Bully, residing in the commune Estaville, went to work at 4 o'clock in the evening in a vineyard belonging to her father, about a quarter of a league from the village on the borders of the woods of Badion. On her not returning the usual hour, her family became alarmed and made a long and useless search in the vineyard and neighbouring wood during the night. On the 16th of August, during a further search, there was discovered in a rock called De la Charbonnière a cavern, the mouth of which was designedly concealed with hay, straw, and branches and leaves of trees. On descending into the cavern, there were found fragments of artichokes, onions, pea pods, and the ears of wheat, which proves that it had served as a habitation to some human being. A strong smell of putrefaction, which struck those who first entered, induced a further search, and on proceeding to the extremity of the cavern, there was found buried under 2 feet of sand a large bundle containing the body of a young girl already in a state of dissolution, the legs doubled upon the trunk, which was most shockingly mutilated. The whole was enveloped in a shift and petticoat and firmly kept together by a handkerchief and an oaken twig. The body was instantly recognised by the parents as that of their ill-fated daughter.
The body has been absolutely butchered with a cut from the groin up to the ribcage. Several organs have been removed, and the girl has also been violated post-death.
From the Cambridge Chronicle and Journal, the 3rd of December, 1824, horrible narrative. On the body being examined by a surgeon, it was found that it had been laid open by means of some very sharp instrument. From the waist to the chest portions of the body, it had been entirely cut away, and numerous and deep wounds inflicted. The head and neck were gorged with blood, but the heart and blood vessels were completely dry.
The capture. The village is on high alert and begins questioning every stranger living nearby or passing through. Several days later, a strange-looking man enters the town to drink from the fountain. He is bedraggled and taken for a vagabond. When asked to stop, the stranger absconds. The stranger returns a few days later and is captured this time. Questioned, Legere initially states he is an escaped convict, but it doesn't take long under the questioning to realise that he is tied to the crime. Taken to the scene of the crime, Legere purportedly broke down and confessed. When accused by the surgeon of having eaten the heart of Amy, Legere refutes the accusation, stating that he sucked the blood from the heart without actually eating it, but cried bitterly that she was already dead. He confessed to having eaten a raw rabbit previously in his time in the woods.
From the Cambridge Chronicle and Journal, the 3rd of December, 1824, horrible narrative. Shortly after finding of the body, a wood ranger saw a man of rather extraordinary face and appearance who fled on his approaching him. His suspicions were awakened, and the next day he succeeded in seizing him as he was drinking at a fountain. He had not been long in confinement when he told 2 of his fellow prisoners that he had been wandering for the last 15 days in the woods, that he had slept in a cavern of the rock and lived upon artichokes, onions, and wheat, which he stole from the neighbouring fields and gardens. 2 knives were found on his person, one of which, with wooden handle, was exceedingly sharp, and which, on being applied to the wounds of the body of the girl, corresponded so exactly with them as to leave little doubt of this being the instrument with which they were inflicted. Leger could no longer resist the force of these circumstances, on being led to the spot where the body was found, and in which latter was placed before him, he confessed himself the perpetrator, and entered into all the horrible details of the crime. According to his confession, he had been from his infancy of a sombre and savage disposition, hating the society of women and persons of his own age. Wishing to live in complete solitude, he had, on St. John's Day, quitted his father's house under pretense of going into service. He brought away with him only 50 francs and the clothes in which he wore. He took up residence in the woods of Montmirau, where he lived for several days upon wild roots, sorrel, and occasional artichokes and wheat, etc., which he stole from the neighbouring farmers. One evening he surprised a rabbit, which he tore in pieces and devoured. Shortly after, pressed by hunger, he entered a village and purchased some bread and cheese. This was corroborated by those who sold him the above article. He then went on to the state that he had become tormented with the desire of getting possession of a woman and eating her flesh and drinking her blood. This demonic project he was enabled to put into execution on seeing the young Constance de Bully in a lone vineyard. He stole unawares upon her, tied a handkerchief around her neck and mouth, threw her on his shoulders, and fled into the woods.
The trial. With the gory details of the death of Amy already leaked, the judge decided to have a closed trial, only allowing those personally involved in the case, as well as reporters. Leger, who had initially denied the charges, changes his plea and fully confesses. In graphic detail, the range of his crime, which included necrophilia and cannibalism. The trial is set to take place on the 29th of November, 1824. The crime, with its lurid details and horrors attached, is the talk of France. However, given the salacious nature of the trial, the judge rules to have a closed court with only reporters and relevant family members allowed to attend.
From the New Times in London, 29th of December, 1824, trial of the monster Leger. The Court of Assizes at Versailles, under the presidency of Monsieur de Hossy, was occupied today, November the 23rd, with the trial of Antoine Leger. At 10:30, the accused was introduced. He said his name was Antoine Leger, aged 29 years, and born at St. Martin, Bretoncourt. He was clothed as a peasant. His complexion is brown, and his physiognomy, both stupid and mild, does not at first view offer any of those striking traits which characterize the atrocious crime of which he is accused. He was perfectly unmoved, and an air of gaiety and contentment reigned on his countenance. Before the act of accusation was read, at the requisition of the Procureur du Roi, it was ordered that the trial should take place with closed doors. The witnesses and the reporters, who were ordered to be very circumspect in their account of this transaction, were alone allowed to remain in court. The greffier read the act of accusation. During this horrible recital, the countenance of Leger, far from betraying any emotion, seemed rather to sparkle with increased satisfaction. The president then proceeded to question him. The prisoner's voice was not at all agitated. He was a thresher and went to make faggots in the woods from his 15th year. He served in 1815 and was in garrison at Soissons. At the return of the princes, he returned to his work. He associated very little with the youth of the village, played sometimes at billiards, but he shunned dancing and the innocent pleasures of the evening. When he left his family, he was out of his senses, and this disorder arose from a cold which had been caused by living at the stone. The president observed to him that the doctors who had examined him state that he had no symptoms of a cold. On the questions of the president, the accused continued his answers. On St. John's Day, he left his father saying he was going into service. He had with him 50 francs, a knife, and two handkerchiefs striped blue and white. He went to Estampes, hence he went towards the wood of De La Ferte. He slept on the rocks, he ate roots, wild sorrel, wild cherries, and gooseberries on the borders of the wood. And at the end of 8 days, he discovered the rock of Charbonnier. He made himself a bed there with hay and alfalfa, which he brought from the valley. He fixed up wooden hooks in the rock, to which he hung some bread and cheese. He drank the water which he found in the crevices of the rock. Twice he went to Estampes and bought bread and cheese. He had not eaten any for a fortnight. He does not think he saw any female in the vineyards before August the 10th. He was led to the rock of the Charbonnier by despair. His brain was dried up. He had desires, but he would not gratify them. One evening he entered a garden and stole some artichokes and onions, which he carried away to his rock, as well as some ears of corn and branches of gooseberries. Being established in his cave, which was 4 feet wide, he closed up one entrance to keep himself from the cold. He found a second knife in the wood, which he sharpened on a stone, forming part of the rock of the Charbonnier. The knife was shown to the accused, and he recognized it. He left the rock on the 10th of August towards 3:30 in the afternoon. He went into the middle of the woods to eat apples and pears. Very soon he saw a little girl seated near a vineyard in a field of oats. He formed the idea of carrying her off. He took his handkerchief and went towards her. She turned her back towards him. He passed his handkerchief round her neck and lifted her up on his back. She uttered a feeble cry. He proceeded across the wood to the place where he had pointed out. The young girl was dead. He found himself ill, was thirsty and hungry and very hot. He remained in this state 30 minutes. On recovering his self-possession, his thirst and hunger were becoming too strong for resistance.
Leger quite graphically describes the atrocities that he inflicted on Amy.
From the Cambridge Chronicle and Journal, the 3rd of December, 1824. Horrible narrative. Being at length obliged to stop from fatigue, perceived that his burden no longer breathed, he laid her upon the ground and found that she was dead. He then delivered himself up to the most incredible excess of unnatural depravity and ferocity, after which he cut off portions of the body which he devoured. He then ripped open the trunk and stooped down, drank with avidity the blood from the heart and veins. He then disposed of the body. He tore off the collar and wristbands of his shirt, which were stained with blood, and burned them. All the horrible details given by Leger were fully corroborated by the state of the body, the finding of the body collar, and by his pointing out the oak from which he cut a twig to bind the body. The twig was applied to the tree and proved the truth of his assertion.
Interestingly, although he had admitted to violating Amy's body previously in his confession, within the trial, he categorically refuted any sexual motivation or actions, focusing rather on the eating raw of various body parts and most distinctly the drinking of her blood.
From the New Times, London, 29th of November, 1824, Trial of the Monster Leger, Court of Assizes of Versailles. Leger positively denied all the circumstances relative to the violation, though in his examination he confessed to having committed this additional crime. The president read this part of the examination and the prisoner persisted in denying these facts. The president remarked to him that this was the first time that he pretended to be taken ill when he laid down the young girl on the grass. And as to the violation, the examination of the medical men proved too clearly that it had been committed. He then bound the legs on the body, covered it with clothes, twisted them into a branch of an oak, and with this staff carried the burden on his shoulders to the rock of the Charbonnière, where he buried it in a hole. After shutting up the mouth of the cave with fern, he said, "There were birds, there were jackdaws, which croaked after me. I thought they would take and hang me. I ran away, but I had lost my senses. The birds were in great numbers. They fled about above the corpse, and I could no longer sleep." Leger continued, "I washed my shirt and hands on the rock where I found water. I afterwards cut off the collar and the sleeves of the shirt and threw them away. I crossed some fields and took refuge in a wood, where I saw a guard whom I avoided. On the next day, the same guard arrested me, saying, 'I will carry you away with me, alive or dead.' The president ordered that the bloody garments, the two knives, the handkerchief, and the branches of oak tree and the gooseberry bush, which are part of the evidence, should be presented to the accused, who recognized them." During this interrogatory, which lasted a long time, in consequence of the multiplicity of questions put by the president, Leger, who concluded by saying that he was instigated by the evil spirit, always replied with a smile on his lips and the appearance of gaiety. At 1 o'clock, they proceeded to the examination of the witness, Pierre de Bully, father of the young Amy Constance. On his appearance, Antoine Leger cast down his eyes. The father spoke in an agitated voice, and on the 10th of August, his daughter, having gone out to prune the vines, disappeared. Going in the evening to seek her, he found on the ground the clogs, the pruning knife, and the bonnet of his daughter. He thought that a wild beast had devoured her. He informed the mayor and himself searched throughout the forest. Some days afterwards, her body was discovered on the rock of La Charbonnière. He recognized it, although it was in a horrible condition. This young girl was the joy and hope of his house. She was extremely pretty, and he dearly loved her. The wife of de Bully deposed to the same effect as her husband. Her voice was broken by frequent sobs, whilst the accused, Leger, preserved the same apathy. Her daughter's body was found with the knees bound to her breast. She did not identify her, but sent a winding sheet to bury her in. She was interred in the clothes found on her when discovered in the grotto.
Defence. Leger's defence, such as it was, makes claims that he had caught a cold which made him crazy. His defence team goes on to point out that his very actions themselves would denote that Leger was insane. However, Leger answered questions put to him clearly and with clear understanding of what he had done. The jury took only half an hour to find Lejeune guilty, and it rejected the plea of insanity.
From the Weekly Globe on the 28th of November 1824, the wretch of the name of Antoine Lejeune was tried and found guilty of an attempted at rape and murder in the Court of Assizes in Versailles on the 23rd instant, under the most horrible circumstances. His victim was a little girl whom he surprised in a wood, strangled her, cut her into pieces, and drank her blood. He was convicted principally on his own confession. He appears to be deranged. His age is 29.
Antoine Lejeune is set for the guillotine on the 1st of December, 1824. Although he had remained calm throughout the trial and whilst imprisoned, it all changes as he approached the guillotine set in the village square of Versailles.
From the Durham County Advertiser, the 11th of December, 1824, Lejeune, not having applied to the Court of Cassation, was executed at Versailles on Tuesday at noon. The multitude who witnessed the execution of this monster was immense. In his last moments, he betrayed great fear, and it was necessary almost to carry him to the scaffold.
Lejeune was sent to be dissected after his hanging. There are reports of brain abnormalities, but no details are given. The case remains in France, one in which it is believed that a madman was hanged.
That concludes this episode of Sinister Saturdays, The Monster Lejeune. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson, and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.